Today we're continuing our sermon series. We've been asking the question, why do bad things happen to godly people? Why do bad things happen to godly people? And so far we've identified five principles, and today is part two of the fifth principle. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, we understand a great truth today. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." We learned in the past that there is an invisible war that sometimes happens, and in that invisible war is between God and the devil. And the devil is accusing God that he is rather foolish to think that people like Job, who have been blessed with finances, who have been blessed with health, who've been blessed with family, actually love God and serve God and praise God for who God is. The only reason they would do it, he said, is because of the good things he does for them. And God says, "No, devil, you got it all wrong. The people like Job, that's just one of the benefits of them following me. But if all of the bad things were taken away from them, they'd still praise my name." And the devil said, "Oh, no, I'll get them to curse you to your face if you just let me bring bad things into their life." And so God sometimes lets bad things happen to godly people just to demonstrate that we understand his worth and his value for who he is. Some of you have been going through bad. See, what kind of bad things can happen to a person when the invisible war principle is going on? Well, what we learn is that there are sometimes natural disasters that come into a region or to an area, geographical area or region, that impact a person's life. What happened in Job is the Bible says a tremendous wind, a mighty wind, a great wind came, like a tornado, like happened in Oklahoma City, and absolutely tore up everything in and around where Job lived. As if that wasn't enough, the devastation that came from that natural disaster. Now, what Job didn't know and what nobody else knew was that the cause behind that natural disaster was an invisible war. You know, I wonder if there's anybody walking in the Spirit enough that could detect if a natural disaster like happened in Oklahoma City actually had some origin in an invisible war between God and the devil. I wonder who it might would be that's living under that type of a circumstance and situation. Because what you study in Job's life is it wasn't just one tornado. It was subsequent bad winds and bad storms. And then, while they're reeling from that, terrorists came in and took the lives of his servants. Some robbers from other nations came in and violated the before unpenetrable area and took the lives of people that were near and dear to Job's life. As if that wasn't enough, the economy collapsed. The stock market fell. Jobs went away, and Job lost every financial investment he'd ever made and had. And if that wasn't enough, another terrible storm came. Fires came like's happening in Los Angeles and ravaged region, and Job lost his sons and his daughters. Lost them, died, and Job grieved. Why do bad things happen to godly people? Sometimes there's an invisible war that goes on. And sometimes when we are in the midst of something like that, the natural disasters don't have an explanation. What kind of things happen to you when those seasons are in your life? Well, if the natural disasters weren't enough, and if the terrorists weren't enough, and the loss of children to death were not enough, how about this one? God doesn't talk to you during those times. You don't hear God's voice. God doesn't speak to you at all. Now, you see, we're not just talking about one bad thing coming to a person's life. We're talking about bad thing after bad thing in a season after another season. And one of the worst things to me is if God doesn't talk to you. If God doesn't answer your cry, if God doesn't seem to hear your prayer, if God doesn't tell you what's going on, if God doesn't comfort you when you're going through it, if God doesn't reach out to you when you're going through it, and then if that's not bad enough, your friends turn against you. Job's friends came to visit him in the midst of these disasters, and Job's friends began to tell them, "We know why you're going through this, Job. You have sin. You've got sin in your life. That's what's brought this on. And for you to lay there and be pious like that, there's just something not right about that, Job. We know what it is, Job. You have looked at those young girls and you've lusted after them, and God is bringing vengeance upon you." And Job said, "I've made a covenant with my eyes that I will not lust after another man's wife. This is not the cause of that." What kind of bad things can happen in a season that we're talking about here when we're asking these things? If it wasn't enough for Job to have natural disasters, if it wasn't enough for fires to ravage his property, if it wasn't enough for all of his investments to go out the window, if it wasn't enough for his children to die, if it wasn't enough for God not to speak to him, to answer him, to comfort him, and his friends to turn against him, Job's wife turned against him and said, "Go ahead and curse God and die. I can't stand to see you like this." I mean, all these things can be against you, and there's a bad principle going on. An invisible war is going on in a time like that. What about you? Why do bad things happen in your life? Why do bad things happen in my life? Well, last week we introduced to you another principle, and that is what we call the stronghold principle. The stronghold principle. Today I want to do part two of that message. And if you didn't get to hear last week's message, I encourage you to go online and to see that when it's available to you. But today there are three things that I want to call to your attention about why do bad things happen to godly people. This is the second part of the stronghold principle. Here's the first part that you might want to write down in your outline to understand. First of all, I want you to notice that the definition of a stronghold must be explained to us. If there are bad things that come into our life, if there are bad things that happen to us, and it could have its root, it could have its origin, it could have its cause, it could find its purpose and its power in a stronghold, then the definition of a stronghold needs to be explained to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, we're introduced to the subject of stronghold. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." And 2 Corinthians 10, 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds." Tell your neighbor it could be a stronghold. Now, well, what is it? Well, the pastor's going to tell us. All right. A stronghold is an entrenched pattern of thought. It's an entrenched pattern of thought or behavior that's contrary to biblical truth, and it stems from our human nature. Now, these entrenched patterns of thoughts that are contrary to biblical truth, that stem from our human nature, then they become exploitable. They become exploitable in our life by demonic fortresses, by demonic spirits or forces. Do you get that? Do you understand that? That you can have an entrenched pattern of thought and behavior that when you read the Word of God, you don't see it for what it is because you've got an experience in your life. You've got a belief in your life that's contrary to what it says. Or you see it saying you can have something, you can be something, you can do something, but that's not your life experience, and you begin to conclude, well, it's good for everybody else, but it's not good enough for me. It works for other people, but it would never work for me. That could be a stronghold that you got. Well, let me say it a simpler way for you. Sometimes we need to just simplify what we say in the complex. Well, here's a simple definition of it. It's a fortress of lies that's been built in the mind. A demonic stronghold is a fortress of lies that have been built in the mind. Now, what you'd know is that the mind can be a storehouse of thoughts and memories, and that's why we must learn how to take every thought captive and compare it to the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen? So, that's the definition of a stronghold. Last week, we shared with you how those strongholds develop. And it can begin with what we call an error that's on the inside of us. It's called our sin nature. You are born dead spiritually to God. And you have no righteousness. You have no desire to seek after God. You have no capacity to follow after God. You have to be born again to even have the capacity to do that. And if God left you to yourself, being dead in your sins and trespasses, you'd never have the first desire or inclination to ever want to know if there is a God, or if there is a God, how you can know that God. The very desire that you have to know God is a gift of grace. And God is pursuing you with a passion. But you've got this fortress of lies built in your mind, says there is no God. Or if there is, he's not a loving God. Or if he is, he's a wimpy God. If he is, he's a religious God. Or if he is, he's a legalistic God. Or if he is, he's a distance God. If it is, he wouldn't want anything to do with me. That's a fortress of lies being built in your mind. All right, now, let me show you the second thing. We have that error that's within us. Also, you've got an environment around you that's anti-God. It's telling you in every way, in education, in entertainment, in music, in everything, all the wrong things to think, all the wrong ways to act, all the wrong things to believe. So you got that culture around you. You got the sin nature living inside of you, but also what you've got are experiences from your past that have hurt you. And then somebody comes and interprets those experiences to you in a way that develops an entrenched pattern of thinking that's contrary to biblical truth. It results in a fortress of lies being in your life, and demonic forces exploit them to steal from you, to destroy you, to try to kill you. All right, the definition must be explained. But number two, let me show you this one. The dysfunction must be expected. If you have a fortress of lies built in your mind, if you have an entrenched pattern of thinking that's contrary to biblical truth in your mind, if you have that entrenched pattern of thinking inside your life and demonic forces can exploit those ways of thinking in your life, then there's an inevitable conclusion that you need to be aware of and I need to be aware of, and it's going to be the root behind some bad things that happen to you in your life, and that is nothing but dysfunction should be expected from our lives. When we have a stronghold, we are going to be dysfunctional in our daily life. We're going to live beneath our privileges in the kingdom of God. We're not going to know the best that God has for us. We're not going to enjoy life. It's going to be a walk of defeat. Now, let me give you three things that would help you to detect a stronghold in your life. First of all, our worship becomes inferior when we have a stronghold. Whenever we have a stronghold, an entrenched pattern of thinking in our minds that's contrary to biblical truth, whenever we have a fortress of lies built in our mind, our worship becomes inferior. Now listen to what Jesus said to a woman who had a stronghold in her life. She had several strongholds in her life, and Jesus was speaking to her. And he says to her, "You worship what you do not know." We know what we worship. Verse 23. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Now here is a woman who had been married and divorced at least four times. Here was a woman who was living with a man who wasn't her current husband. Here was a woman whose religious culture and background has said the only place you can worship is over here. Other people that we don't like, they worship over there. And if you can't make it there, then you can't worship anywhere. And when you get there, you got to worship a particular way. And so this woman brings this stronghold into this conversation with Jesus. And Jesus said, you worship what you don't know. Your worship is so inferior to what you could have. He said, I'm here to tell you right now that now is the time. And this is the place that those who really want to worship God must worship Him in spirit and truth. Now, when you've got a stronghold in your life, you go through the motions of worship, but you don't worship in spirit and truth. What are some characteristics of spirit and truth worship? When you worship in spirit, the worship that you do will involve two things. It will involve the human spirit. If you don't feel anything when you worship, you hadn't tapped into worship. When you sit there and say, I'm not moved by this truth. When you can listen to a song that says there's nobody greater and you not be moved in your human spirit, that could be a stronghold covering your eyes. There could be a stronghold covering your heart. I mean, God designed you as an emotional being. And God redeemed you not from your emotions, in your emotions. And if you're going to worship God in a superior way, you're going to have to somehow or another touch your human spirit. Why in the world would the spirit of religion devise such a teaching and design such a culture that says sit on your hands, stay off your feet, and whatever you do, don't engage any emotions in this. Don't feel anything when you go through this. And God forbid if you feel it that you ever express it. I want to tell you, if you've been taught like that, then you've got a stronghold covering your eyes. You've got a stronghold covering your eyes. And for those that was here last week, a stronghold covers everything that you look. You look at everything through the filter. Jesus said, you worship, but you don't even know what you worship. I'm telling you right here and right now, now's the time and this is the place for you to engage your human spirit in a personal relationship with the one who created you. But you know, worship in spirit and truth not only involves the human spirit. We got a lot of that. They're just the happy clappies and they don't know what they're happy about and they don't know what they're clapping about. I'm a happy clappy too, but I like to know what I'm happy about and what I'm clapping about. Worship in spirit will always involve, engage the human spirit, but it will always engage the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit shows you a truth, even if you've been looking at that truth through your lens all your life, what he's saying is, I'd like to remove that lens that's covering you. And keeping your human spirit from being touched by the Holy Spirit. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Now, our worship becomes inferior when we got a stronghold over our eyes because we're not enjoying a personal relationship with God to its fullest degree. Now, when you worship in spirit, it engages the human spirit, but it engages the Holy Spirit. But it's balanced with truth. Jesus said, those who worship the Father must worship the Father in spirit and in what? In truth. In truth. And that's what keeps your emotions. You know, I've seen some ball game folks. They've got some emotional connection take place. I mean, you look, if you're a Tennessee fan, you got more emotion to you than truth to you. I mean, I believe in miracles, but in this day and age that you're living in, you ain't beating Georgia, you ain't beating Florida, and you ain't beating Alabama, but 110 strong going to be out there with orange paint on their face and screaming to the loudest, just hoping that it might happen one day. You got to add some truth to your worship or all you are is a fanatic, all right? Now, when you worship God in spirit and truth with these lens, all your emotions want to run, and the truth wants to run, but your stronghold says, nuh-uh, you sit down. You don't lift that hand. You don't stand to your feet. You know, you don't affirm that truth. But oh, when God says, let's tear that stronghold down. Let's tear that stronghold down. Oh, then you begin to sing a new song. And you can say, I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Well, what happens when you've got a strong dysfunction must be expected. I mean, you've learned to function dysfunctionally. But then you begin to see some truth and begin to feel some truth. But your stronghold's saying, ignore it, deny it, crucify it, get rid of that. Mama said, you don't do that in church. Mama said, that ain't good for you. Or the preacher said, would you put that hand down? You're disrupting me. Or the usher said, shh, don't you get religion in here. Don't you get touched in here. If you're going to get touched, you get touched down the street. Now, you got to understand the spirit of religion has put blinders over the eyes of more people than demon spirits have. But the spirit of religion is empowered by demon spirits. And so what happens is our worship becomes inferior to what God designed it. You know, why would Jesus be born of a virgin? Why would he suffer? In all the points that he suffered, why would he go through the rigors of the cross? Why would he go through the torture and the torment of the cross and becoming sin for us if he didn't want you to ever feel anything or do anything when it comes to worshiping him? Beloved, I want to tell you, salvation is free, but it's not cheap. Salvation is available, but it has to be on God's terms. And I want to tell you that God is wanting to raise up a generation of warriors, of worshipers who want to go forward in victory and want to tear down the strongholds and break every chain, you know, off of them. Well, if you've got a stronghold, which you're born with a stronghold, your environment around you strengthens the stronghold, and any painful, negative, or less than truthful experiences you had in your past reinforces that stronghold. So you got such a thick veil over your eyes when it comes to looking at truth. You can see it, but don't see it. You can hear it, but never hear it. And what you see, but don't see, what you hear, but don't hear, never penetrates your emotion and never penetrates your mind, and you never get set free. And so then the next stronghold comes and said, it ain't real. It's not real. It doesn't work. I don't know what they're happy about, but I'm not getting happy about that. I don't know what they're bowing at, but I'm not bowing at it. And you see the vicious cycle that it goes? Our worship becomes inferior to what Jesus desired and delivered for us. But the second thing, you see it up there, is when your worship becomes inferior, your witness becomes inadequate. Your witness becomes inadequate. I mean, what are you going to tell anybody about? What are you going to recommend to anybody? What are you going to invite somebody to? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you got something to talk about. Woo! Glory to God. Man, I was reading the Word. I was listening to the Word in song. And man, the Spirit of God began to make me feel something. I began to feel something, and then I began to think something. I began to think what I feel and feel what I think. And then what happened? A shout came out of my life. And I'd just like to tell you what Jesus done for me. You can tell them how long you've been alive, and you can tell them how you used to look at life. But oh, the preacher started talking about strongholds. And a stronghold is the fortress of lies in my life. And I couldn't even see you without looking at a lie. I couldn't even hear truth without hearing a lie. But I want to tell you, when the Word of God came to me, the Spirit of God came upon me, He tore down that stronghold. And man, now I see. And now I feel. And now I got something I want to testify to you about. Our worship becomes inferior. Our witness becomes inadequate. But if you've got a stronghold in your life, there's a third thing that you'll notice. Our walk becomes inconsistent. Our witness becomes inadequate, but our walk becomes inconsistent. And what the Word of God says in Galatians chapter 5 is it says to us, but I say to you, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the what? The flesh. Do you know one of the things your flesh wants to do for you is it wants to make your walk in Christ inconsistent. It wants to make you, oh, I'm in the Spirit today. Oh, I'm not in the Spirit now. Oh, I'm in love with Jesus now, but I'm not in love with Jesus now. And you're like a yo-yo. And every time the devil wants to wipe the stripe off your candy cane, he just reinforces that stronghold that's in your mind. And then you just don't become consistent in your walk in Christ. But if you're walking by the Spirit, look at what he tells us. He said the flesh sets itself against the what? That flesh is that part of you that wants to live independent from God and anything holy. And you're born with it. You're born with it. And being born with it, you need to know that it's declared out and out war on the Spirit in your life, the Spirit of God in your life, the victory in your life, the abundance in your life, the breakthrough in your life, the peace in your life, the worship of God in your life. Anything holy is going to make you successful. It's declared war against it. But oh, look at this. And the Spirit, though, the Spirit declared war against your flesh. Oh, glory to God. The Spirit has declared war against your flesh. And the Spirit is saying, we're going to beat that. We're going to crucify that. And Jesus gave you a demonstration of the power over it in that he was tempted to sin at every point as you had been, yet he never sinned. Jesus demonstrated his victory over that in that he died on the cross and he was put in a tomb. Jesus demonstrated his victory over that and he was raised from the dead. That's the power that's available to you, and that's the power that's working inside you, and that's the power that will give you consistency in your walk. But listen to this. The stronghold in your life doesn't want you to know anything about the Spirit of God in your life. You can read and read and read, and you'll never, never see the emphasis on the Holy Spirit in the Bible when you've got a stronghold over your eyes. But when you get that stronghold torn down, you see that I can't live this life without the Spirit. I can't enjoy this life without the Spirit. And I can't experience worship without the Spirit that God has for me. And so what you get to do is you get to choose. Now, which one of these raging enemies am I going to consent to? If you consent to your flesh, which is full of adultery, it's full of fornication, it's full of lust, it's full of deceit, it's full of anger, it's full of rebellion, it's full of all of these evils, and it's resident within you, then you'll never know anything consistent in the kingdom of God. But if you begin to recognize, I don't want to live that life. I want to live a life of love and of joy and of peace and of righteousness and of victory and of consistency and of discipline. Then all you're going to say is, Spirit of God, we're going to beat that and we're going to defeat that in our life. So our walk becomes inconsistent. I wonder if anybody's recognizing the presence of a stronghold in your life today. Your worship is inferior to what God said you can have. Your witness is inadequate for the opportunities that are before you. And your walk is so inconsistent that you stay defeated more than you stay victorious. You stay discouraged more than you stay encouraged. Well, number three, let me show you this. The definition must be explained. The dysfunction must be expected. But here's the good news. The destruction must be experienced. The destruction of your stronghold must be experienced. My apologies to the housekeeping team. What is that? That is a destruction of a previously existed stronghold. It's being shredded piece by piece. It's being shredded lie by lie. Blasphemy by blasphemy. Lie after lie after lie. I want to tell you that the destruction of a stronghold must be experienced in your life. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down strongholds, blinders, fortress of lies, places where demons hide behind and launch their attacks against you, against your sons, against your daughters, against the third and the fourth generation. Those places to where every time he wants to make your walk inconsistent, all he has to do is trigger that emotional response from a past experience that you've had. All he has to do is remind you, you don't do that in church. You don't do that. Why? Because mama said you don't do that. Why? Because preacher said you don't do that. Why? Because the religion said you don't do that. But when you read the Word said, you have all that you want. You get some and get some more of that, and God's got plenty for you. Amen? All right. Now, we were in this part last week. Let me fill it in for you. How do you experience the destruction of a stronghold in your life? We've been doing this. Number one, it takes light to expose it. The Word of God being shone down on those dark places in your life, it takes the light of God's Word to shine down on that stronghold in your life. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Once the light has shown you, and I believe I see it, it looks brighter in here already right now because the light's shining down on some of you. I mean, some of you have now, the light has gone off inside of you and said, that's why my walk is so inconsistent. That's why my worship is so inferior. That's why my witness is so inadequate, is because I've got this stronghold here. Now, you know, look at this. It takes light to expose it. And once it's been exposed, what happened? It takes truth to oppose it. It takes truth to oppose it. Now, how do you do that? Well, once the light shows you the stronghold, then, you know, you got this blinder up here. You got this lie up here, but you see the Word. And the Word says this, but your stronghold says this. And then you've got to decide which one you're going to live with. And the truth of God's Word will oppose it. And you know, when the devil, the demon, is hiding behind that stronghold in your life, I wish I could tell you that you could just wish him away or pray him away. If you can, you can do better than Jesus. Because Jesus didn't wish him away and Jesus didn't pray him away. He spoke him away. You've got to speak to that stronghold. You've got to speak to that spirit behind that. And you've got to say, not preacher said you got to go, but I say you got to go. Why? It's written. It's written in the truth. And the truth's going to set me free. It takes light to expose it. What happens when you use the truth to oppose it? Number three, it takes power to destroy it. It takes power to destroy it. And you need more power than you've got to do it, or you'd already been free from it. Amen? What is the most powerful thing that you can have? Two things. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
All right. The Word of God is powerful enough to destroy it. But look at the second thing that you've got in Revelation 12:11. They overcame him. Who? The accuser of the brethren. The accuser of the brethren is Satan. And all of his demons. The accuser of the brethren is saying that you can't overcome, you can't be victorious, you can't do that. But here how you overcome him, and three things right here. Number one, you overcome him through the Word of God. You overcome through the Word of God. Number two, you overcome through the blood of the Lamb. Through the blood of the Lamb. And number three, you overcome. You overcome through the life that is crucified. Through the life that is crucified. Hey, listen to what your Bible says about them. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. They were willing to die for the cause of Christ. They were willing to die for the will of God in their life. Now, I'm not talking about, in this instance right here, just simply being a martyr for the faith, though sometimes that might be happening to us. I'm talking about, are you willing to die to that sin that you have learned to enjoy and to foster all of your life? Are you willing to die to that lie that's been built in your life? I mean, you've been taught enough truth to be set free 100 times, but you hadn't been willing to die to the flesh that contradicts that truth. Some people, as strange as it sounds, are more afraid of living functionally, and they'd rather live dysfunctionally than to live functionally. The thoughts of living differently than they've lived all their life is more frightening to them than living free in Christ in something they've never known all of their life. And so you've got to overcome by the Word of God. You've got to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and you've got to overcome by the life that's crucified. What did the Apostle Paul said? He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I believe there's some strongholds that are ready to be torn down. I believe it's going to get messy up in here. I believe there are going to be a whole lot of shredded strongholds right up in here. I'm going to give you these principles that I use to tear down strongholds in my life. Here they are. Number one, the first thing you got to have to tear down the strongholds is you got to have an assurance of your salvation. And that couldn't very well in of itself be the stronghold that you struggle with more than anything else, is doubt around the Word of God and the faithfulness of God. What I'm talking about here is there a reasonable assurance of salvation that you live with? In other words, what's the basis of the assurance that you have of life after this life being with God? It can't be in a prayer that you prayed somewhere. It can't be in being baptized. It can't be in living a good life. The only reasonable assurance you can have to live victoriously in this life is that you have someplace put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus through repentance and faith. Repentance toward God because you didn't believe God's who he said he is. And faith in the finished work of Jesus being God and the work that he finished on the cross and the resurrection is the only hope you have of salvation. The only hope you have of it. When you have knowledge that you have repented of your sin and placed your faith in the finished work of Jesus, then you have the reason to have assurance of your salvation. Do you have an assurance of your salvation today? Number two, not only the assurance of your salvation, but now you say, all right, I got that, Pastor. The second thing is, I'm going to need an awareness of my stronghold. Do you have an awareness of your stronghold? I mean, I can't identify the stronghold in you. I can probably see it and guess at it pretty accurately. But you have to have an awareness of it. And that's where it takes the light to expose it. As I've been preaching on this for 2 weeks now, has the light of God's Word and the light of God's Spirit shone down on the area of darkness in your life? I mean, do you have an idea of what your stronghold is? You've got to have an awareness. If you can't tear something down, you don't know it's there. And so the assurance of salvation and what that means in trusting and living daily in the finished work of Christ is it means you've got victory. You've got joy. You've got love. You've got peace. You've got discipline. But if you're not experiencing that, why? Either you haven't trusted in the finished work of His salvation, or you've got a stronghold that's keeping you from enjoying the benefits of it. Do you have an awareness of your stronghold? Number three, here's this. Do you have an acknowledgement of your sin? Are you willing to make acknowledgement of your sin? Now, you say, well, what sin would I have? Take 3 guesses and the first one don't count. If you're living with a stronghold, you're looking at life through your stronghold, that means that you're living according to the flesh. That means that you're lying. That means that you're being deceptive. It means that you're being disobedient. It might manifest itself in adultery or fornication or self-gratification. It might manifest itself in a thousand different ways, but if you've got a stronghold, you've got some sin you're contributing to in it. The stronghold might be bringing that sin out of you, but you've got ownership of the sin. And so you've got to have an acknowledgement of your sin. If you try to tear a stronghold down without being willing to acknowledge your sin, the demon spirit is going to laugh at you and say, hey, boys, come on, we're going to have a field day here. This one's just playing more games. But man, when you start being willing to acknowledge the sin that you have ownership of, you've got an awareness of your stronghold and you've got an assurance of salvation based on the finished work of Jesus Christ, devils start to trembling. They start to trembling because they know this fortress of lies is about to come down. So you've got an awareness of your stronghold, an assurance of your salvation, an acknowledgement of your sin, but here it is. Then you're going to have to renounce the demon that controls you. You're going to have to renounce the demon that controls you. That's what Jesus did in the wilderness on those three separate occasions. He spoke to that demon. He spoke to that devil. And he renounced him. And I like what it says as it progressed. Jesus said, it's written. That's why I'm not going to turn these stones into bread. This is the Word of God says I'm not supposed to do that. And then he said, well, why don't you do this? And he said, it's written. I'm not going to do that either. And then the third time he said, well, why don't you just throw yourself off of that mountain, off of that temple? Well, no, I'm going to do that. And then he said this, get out of here, Satan. I renounce you, Satan. Just get out of here. I'm done with this. Now, somebody needs to be done with this today. And you need to renounce a demon that has been assigned to you, maybe came through generations, maybe came through a experience in your past, but it's been set up in your mind, and it won't let you think of God for who He is, won't let you worship God the way that He is, and it won't let you have victory or consistency in your walk, and now you're going to have to renounce that demon and say, get out of here. Now, then, once you've done that, you're going to feel better. But the old demon is still going to send you a parting thought and said, man, aren't you glad that's over with now? You don't have to do anything else. But now the next thing is the important thing is you've got to reclaim the ground that the demon used to have. You've got to reclaim the ground that you surrendered all of your life. You've got to say, this is not demon territory anymore. This doesn't belong to demons anymore. Jesus died for this. Jesus rose from the dead for this. Well, if it was lying, if it was deceit, if it was adultery, if it was fornication, if it was pornography, it was lust, if it was a doubt, whatever it is, you got to claim that ground back. And say, this belongs to Jesus now. And then, here's the next one. You got to rebuild towers of truth in your mind. You got to rebuild towers of truth in your mind. Now, that's not going to happen easily for you. It's not even going to happen instinctively for you. Your flesh is going to resist every effort that you make of rebuilding towers of truth. Now, has anybody got a stronghold they're ready to get rid of today? Anybody ready to tear something down that don't need to believe there? Anybody want their worship to be superior? Anybody want their witness to be adequate? Anybody want their walk to be consistent? Then you got to do what the Word says you got to do.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.